What's my name, fool? Say my name. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, in honor of the passing of one of the greatest boxers of all time, I am here to review Big George Foreman, starring Chris Davis. For those of you stepping into the squared circle for the very first time here with me today, here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And in case you missed it, back in March, the world lost one of the greatest boxers of all time, the former two-time world heavyweight champion, George Foreman, passed away. And today I am here to pay homage to the champ by reviewing a movie that I've actually had my eyes set on for a while now. This is something I've been wanting to watch for since it came out in theaters a couple years ago, back in 2023. Big George Foreman, starring Chris Davis. This movie is very good. It is a very good film. Great cast lineup here, and an amazing director as well. So let's go ahead and jump right in. So as I mentioned, Big George Foreman stars Chris Davis, who has had a few acting credits to his name prior to this film, including Space Jam, A New Legacy, and Judas and the Black Messiah. Alongside Davis playing I'll let you decide who the greatest is. Maybe that'll be a post this week. Although it is safe to say that George Foreman was the greatest, oldest world heavyweight champion, seeing how still to this day he is the oldest person to have held the world heavyweight championship. But alongside Chris Davis playing Big George Foreman, we also have the great Forrest Whitaker playing Doc Brodus. Doc was the man who got George Foreman into boxing as a kind of youth. It looks like right around teenage years, early college days, when he was when George Foreman signed up for the workforce, trying to learn some skills and trades to get into the workforce. Ended up learning how to box instead, and Doc was there with him through the early days of his boxing career, his gold medal victory in the Olympics, all the way up to him winning the World Heavyweight Championship, losing it then to Muhammad Ali at the Rumble in the Jungle, to his retirement, to 10 years later after his retirement when he decides to make his comeback. And Whitaker puts on a great performance here throughout this movie. He is a good companion to Chris Davis throughout the film. And it's very believable through their performance, the close relationship that the two formed. Another close relationship that is formed in the life of George Foreman that is touched on briefly, but actually unfolds more in his real life, is his relationship with Muhammad Ali. Ali is played by Sullivan Jones here. In real life, after George Foreman's conversion experience and he begins devoting his life to God and to his work as a pastor, he actually goes out and seeks out to extend forgiveness to Muhammad Ali and asks for forgiveness from Muhammad Ali because he was so angry and bitter at him that he hated him. And after that point, Ali and George Foreman, this doesn't really come up so much in the movie, but they become lifelong friends after that point, all the way up to Ali's passing back in the, I believe that was the 2010s when Muhammad Ali passed away. I was a little bit, much like a boxing match, it was a split decision for me on what I thought of Sullivan's portrayal of Ali. One thing that I really enjoyed about this movie is that and during the end credit scroll, right before the like really long, just like here's some words on the screen, but during the initial beginning of the credits, they show pictures from George Foreman's real life, real career, alongside stills from the movie where they went out of their way to recreate some of these shots. It was really cool. It was kind of like in like comic book movies where you can like pick out very specific like panel shots that they're doing in the movie. And so it was at that point that I realized that, okay, Sullivan does look like Muhammad Ali, especially there in the 70s. There was just something a little bit off about his portrayal. I don't know. But at the same time, the list of people who have portrayed Muhammad Ali in movies is pretty stacked, because that list also includes names like Will Smith and Muhammad Ali, which is probably the most Muhammad Ali thing that you could do, portray yourself in your own movie. A few other names I want to highlight here, playing smaller roles in the films, but still, especially for this next person, still a significant individual that I want to highlight. Lawrence Gillard Jr. plays Archie Moore. Archie Moore joins George Foreman's crew after his gold medal victory, and he's starting to make his run for the World Heavyweight Championship against Joe Frazier. Archie Moore, for those of you who don't know, aka The Mongoose. For those of you who don't know, The Mongoose, Archie Moore, aka The Old Mongoose, Archie Moore, he was the longest reigning world light heavyweight champion and had one of the longest active professional boxing careers, spanning from 1935 to 1963. George Foreman does end up becoming the oldest boxing world heavyweight champion, but there is a 10-year interruption between his initial retirement and then his comeback. But Archie Moore is, though in the movie, Archie Moore is the Mongoose is, I just love saying that, I'm sorry. The Mongoose is a very significant player in the career of George Foreman. In real life, in the movie, it's a very small role that Lawrence Gillard plays. Lawrence Gillard Jr. plays in this movie, but he is somebody worth noting, both for the life of George Foreman and also just because he's a legendary boxer. One last name I wanted to highlight here. During George Foreman's comeback, this is one quick scene, but I have to mention it. During George Foreman's comeback, and he's starting to get hot, he goes like 18-0 early on during his comeback. He makes an appearance on the Johnny Carson show, which is when he starts talking about how he's going to start pivoting away from, a lot of people are making fun of him for his weight, the weight he has put on, and also for the kinds of fighters he was taking on. And he was just kind of there to like address the fact and poke fun at himself. And playing Johnny Carson is Tom Virtue. Yes, the dad from Even Stevens is Johnny Carson in this movie, and I freaking loved it. Now, those are some of the players here in Big George Foreman, but I would be remiss not to bring up the director of this film, George Tillman Jr. Tillman Jr., along with directing Big George Foreman, is also known for having directed the films Soul Food, Men of Honor, Notorious, The Hate U Give. He was the producer on all of the Barbershop movies. He was the executive producer on the Barbershop television series, and he also directed an episode of Luke Cage and This Is Us. So talk about a guy who's made some very impactful films, telling great stories, telling important stories through the perspective of the African-American culture. And so talk about a guy who was definitely the best case scenario, the best candidate to tell this story as well. Now, if you're like me, a child of the 90s, who your memories of George Foreman include the jovial Pastor George Foreman selling his lean, mean, fat grilling machines on television, you're in for whiplash, because that wasn't always George Foreman. I didn't know that until I started this movie. George Foreman was actually a very angry, bitter, self-centered man prior to his conversion. I know. This is a completely different individual during the early days of his life. And as a white man trying to learn and grow, I took this as an opportunity to sit back and really take in this depiction of African American anger. This is something that I guess without being offensive, I do not understand. This is an area that I am learning and growing in. I've read a really helpful book, Reading While Black, that talked about, there was a whole chapter devoted to this, and it has helped me just continue to learn about this aspect of the African-American experience. And so just kind of seeing at this very early days, like seriously, from childhood through to his early or to his 20s when he's world heavyweight champion, George Foreman is just an angry man. And although the movie doesn't really depict too much by way of any racism that plays into this anger, I imagine there has to be something there. A lot of this comes down to, in his childhood, his anger over how he was treated for being poor. He grew up in a poor family. He grew up in a poor household in Houston, Texas. And that line that I opened the show with today, that is from his childhood. I've seen from his childhood, he's at school and there's a kid bullying him, calling him George Poor Man. And George beats this kid up and says, "What's my name, fool? Say my name." And that's basically George Foreman's driving force of this demand for respect throughout his early life, all the way through his gold medal win, his boxing professional career, winning the World Heavyweight Championship, losing the World Heavyweight Championship to Muhammad Ali. We'll talk about it. Don't worry. This is like one of the central parts of his character in this film. And that's an important point to note here. Although I have not seen anything really that says that this movie is a bad depiction of George Foreman's life, it seems like there may be a little bit of debate on how big of an impact faith played in his family as a childhood. Again, we'll talk about it. We got plenty of time still. We're not even halfway through yet. When it comes to this film, it is a biopic. It is a based on a true story sports film, and that's not to say that there's some kind of like agenda trying to be presented here at all. It's just important to note that based on a true story sports film, although real life is very captivating, we'll talk about his conversion because it is very captivating. Even the fact that he eventually goes on to re-win the World Heavyweight Championship at the age of 45, all of that is captivating. When you're telling a movie, when you're telling a story in a movie, you do have to still come up with cohesive narratives in order to tell that story. And this was a big plot point of the early days of George Foreman's life, of just wanting to be respected, which is not a bad thing, wanting to be respected for who he was as an individual rather than to be typecast as, oh, you're just some poor kid living in Houston. Along with the anger for wanting respect from other people, another big thing going on in the life of George Foreman all the way through his career, including his comeback, was body image. George Foreman, there was no doubt in my mind, no matter how, if this film is being accurate at all with how they are depicting George Foreman's size as a youth, like he was always destined to be an athlete of some sort, a lineman, a wrestler, a boxer, a something. Just he had this like natural build of, You're a big guy, you know. And if even if it wasn't sports, you know, a trades guy, like that kind of a thing, George Foreman was destined for some kind of like labor work like that, or a professional athlete career. But it does seem to be something that he is always sensitive about. When he makes his comeback at the end of his when he makes his comeback in the late 80s through the 90s, 10 years off from boxing, he gets back together with Doc, and Doc tells him he needs to cut down from 319 to 265 in order to make this like a legitimate, okay, we're going to make a real run for the World Heavyweight Championship for a career again. And when he does have that debut return fight, it's a great exchange between Davis and Whitaker. George Foreman says, you know, what's the hardest part for me getting back into this ring? And Doc is like, the possibility of getting knocked out by a loser? And he goes, no, having to take this robe off, because the last time people saw me, I looked like Superman. And Doc goes, yeah, and now you look like the Michelin Man. And he pulls the robe off of him. And calling George Foreman the Michelin Man, especially the movie version of George Foreman the Michelin Man, I think is a little heavy-handed. He's not that big, but George Foreman was always a big man, and kudos to the cinematographer here in the movie, because again, not the real George Foreman, but holy cow, you can feel every punch that Chris Davis lands in this movie. George Foreman was dropping bombs left and right and center, and they make you feel those punches in this movie. So famously, George Foreman eventually loses the World Heavyweight Championship to Muhammad Ali at the Rumble in the Jungle after Ali rope-a-dopes him for the majority of the match, causing George Foreman to gas himself out. And then Ali hits him with a 1-2 combo that George Foreman said was the hardest punch he ever took in his life. You could not have found two different individuals to box in that match. Ali was, of course, this fast-talking, smooth, good-looking. They're both good-looking. I shouldn't slant that against George Foreman. But just like, at one point in time, Ali was almost a pretty boy. Maybe I'm off base saying that. But like, and even though he was a heavyweight boxer, like, yeah, Ali was smart. He had heavy hands, don't get me wrong, but he was smart. He was crafty. He, of course, float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Like, he was light on his feet for a heavyweight. George Foreman, on the other hand, was big. He was, you know, footwork was a big part that comes up in this movie. George Foreman trying to learn how to move. And like, George Foreman doesn't really, at least in the movie, respond very much to Ali's, you know, cutting up. You know, he just kind of like is very stern and very quiet around Ali. And of course, was just like this nothing but heavy-handed puncher. So you could not have found two different men to face off against each other in that match. After Foreman lost to Ali, he then suddenly forgot how to box, and has a bit of a rough time after, loses all self-confidence. And eventually, after one of his losses, what ended up being his final loss during his first run, he has what basically looks like a panic attack in the locker room after the fight, goes to the showers, turns them on, and declares, "Hallelujah, I've been born again." You see, after Ali beats Foreman for the title, George Foreman's family also has a medical emergency. I can't remember if it's his sister or sister-in-law is in labor, going to give birth to her child, and there is a complication, and the baby might not make it. And the doctors have exhausted everything they know how to do. So the family is now just going to go pray. There's really nothing else to do now other than leave it into the hands of God. And Foreman cannot stand that idea. But it ends up becoming this really great scene of Foreman just praying, saying, "Hey, how are you a good God?" Those are the kinds of questions that are good to ask and are very common during a medical emergency. You know, how are you a good God if this kind of a thing could happen, is happening? You know, I think a lot of times in our world right now with everything that's going on, like, that is also a good question to ask. Don't be embarrassed to ask that kind of question of how are you a good God when all of these atrocities, all of this pain and suffering is happening. And trust me, fun fact, I'm a Christian. And so, trust me, anybody who can offer a quick fix solution to those kinds of questions, don't spend too much time with them, or at least with their answers, because there are no quick fix solutions for these kinds of questions. Props to Tillman, again, as a Christian who has watched his fair share, unfortunately, of Christian movies and the... They just get so cheesy. They just get so cheesy. Tillman handles the doubt, the anger, the conversion, the pastoring, the temptation, all of it in George Foreman's life so well. Does not shy away from this because this is a big part of Foreman's life after all. He does not shy away from it. Does not poke fun at it. Treats it very respectfully. I don't know what Tillman's faith is. I don't know what his faith is, but just to kind of see it portrayed so well was just refreshing, and I appreciated it without it having to become cheesy. Foreman retires, becomes a pastor, and opens a youth center in Houston, Texas as well. But after his financial guy, who should not have been handling anybody's finances, loses all of George Foreman's money on bad stock investments and maybe some implied alcoholism, George Foreman begins selling off all of his memorabilia. He begins doing ad sponsorship stuff, and eventually, yes, that's how we get the George Foreman grill, and ultimately has to go back into boxing, at first just to pay the bills, to keep the church, the youth center, and a house over his head, because him and his second wife has now started a family together. And but eventually, after his loss to Evander Holyfield for the World Heavyweight Championship, even though everything was financially secured by that point, and his wife, who really didn't want him to get back into boxing, because not so much for safety reasons, but more so because she wasn't sure if George could box without the rage. That was also something that Doc was concerned about as well. George Foreman had confidence in himself that he could do it his way as this new man, especially after passing this test of, you know, eventually he does get face to face with the guy, his lifelong friend who lost all of his money. And it is believable that he is going to unalive him, and he doesn't. He doesn't. He's very angry, but he doesn't give in to the rage. But also his wife had a vision from God that George Foreman was going to win the World Heavyweight Championship again. So with the vision in mind and having caught the bug for boxing again, George Foreman sticks back with it and eventually does win the World Heavyweight Championship. The unified, I think it was IBF, WB, and one other. I can't remember what it's three of the titles, because boxing is weird and you can win seven titles. Sorry, all you like very determined boxing fans out there, but it is a little interesting that sometimes you can have one fight and win like four belts off of the back end of it. So all of that is to say, the life of George Foreman is a very was a very interesting story. Just a man controlled by rage with a desire for respect and came to the end of himself, found God, became a pastor, and legitimately continued to live his life as a man following Jesus, even through his return to boxing. And just, it's one of those things where it sounds cliche, but there will not be another guy like George Foreman. And his story is inspiring. And just at this point, I just want to make clear, you know, grief takes a long time to process. And even though he passed away back in March, just continue to be in prayer and for the family. Processing grief can take a long time, especially when you're losing a husband, a father. And so just grace and peace to the family as they continue to process this loss. As for the movie itself, yes, I would watch it again. And I think for the right price, I would pick it up. Like I said, I'm a sucker for based on a true story sports films. I'm at that age where I grew up with all of those when Disney was obsessed with making those movies. Remember the Titans, the Full Glory Road, The Greatest Game Ever Played, Miracle, The Rookie. Like, I was watching all of those movies because I was the age for those movies. Yeah, just kind of a sucker for a good based on a true story sports film. I'm sure we'll talk about Cinderella Man at some point. But yeah, definitely check this movie out. Caught it on Hulu. So if you've got Hulu or one of those bundles that gets you Hulu alongside other streaming platforms, you can easily watch it. But I got to bring this episode to a close. So thank you all for listening. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you're listening to it and pass this episode along to a friend. Make sure you follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, P-R-T-Y, where you can get a review of the movie before the episode comes out. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. We'll catch you all next time. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up wisdom one slice at a time.